and that our eyes would be opened in the breaking of the bread. God, lead us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray the collect for purity. It says, those who are pure in heart shall see God. To be pure in heart, we pray that the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts would be discerned by God and that God would cleanse them. We start each service like that. God can see into our hearts. God lays bare the hidden things in our hearts. It says about God's word that God's word is alive and active. It's like a double-edged sword. It's like a scalpel, surgeon's scalpel, who goes in and divides bone and marrow and discerns the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Some of us would rather not know what is in our heart, because when we discern that, we get upset. We don't like what's in there. And some of us might not know what to do about that. Well, we can pray with confidence that as we say, God, purify my heart, that if God brings something up that needs to be dealt with, that God will give us the grace to do that and the courage to do that. Let me give a living example. I see my dermatologist twice a year. That in itself is not big news, but in my last visit, she said, I'm going to give you a topical chemotherapy, all right? You're going to put it on your skin because there's been so much skin damage, and it will just target the cancerous, or in this case, precancerous cells. So I don't have a rash. I'm not contagious. You might wonder, as you draw near to me, what I have. So the backs of my hands and my forehead and side and ears, I've been applying this for about 12 days. At first, nothing. And then it was discerning those cells that are damaged and that will result in a basal cell cancer. And then it starts to identify them and bring them to the surface. And it hurt more and more, and it hurts more and more as I apply this chemotherapy to my raw flesh. I don't want to overdramatize it, but I'm committed to this. Why? Well, perhaps for obvious reasons. If there was something you could do physically to deal with precancer that would develop into cancer, would you do it? Most of us would say, of course I would. Well, how about if it's painful? Would you still do it? Most of us would say yes. Well, what if it, well, we know where that goes. Sometimes the poison of chemotherapy can be so detrimental to one's life that it's like this balance. Where is the balance between killing this cancer and killing me? I'm far from that. This is a very mild, relatively speaking, and benign, relatively speaking, chemotherapy. My point is that when we pray that God would discern the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts, it's like putting on this chemotherapy on my skin. I didn't know that they'd show up there, or I didn't know it would look like this. I didn't know. I couldn't see or discern the precancerous cells in my layers of skin. And here they are. What do? I shrink away? Well, my wife does, but I'm committed to this, right? She is too. She's my support for sure. But it's not pleasant. It feels like I've walked into a whippersnapper, right? But I'm committed to the course of action. It's a 3-week prescription, and I'm committed to it. How committed are we of walking this way and praying this prayer that God would discern our hearts? And anything that's brought up, that we'd seek some sort of remedial action. Maybe go to a counselor, maybe talk to a trusted friend, call me. I won't be surprised, whatever it is. But don't stay alone in in that place. So we pray, and the whole goal of today in discussing this, these cottage meeting results, is that we would have a joy within us, that our deep gladness, that our freedom in Christ, our forgiveness and healing in Jesus would be so much the norm in our life that when we strayed from it, we'd want to get back there as soon as we could. The older I get, the more I value a good night's sleep. Do I hear an amen out there? Amen. You know, and to sleep in peace, to sleep soundly. And I know there are other reasons why we might not get a good night's sleep, but so critical is it that our hearts are quieted within us, that we have gladness in our hearts, as the psalmist says, and that even though we don't have it all together, and that's why I love Jesus' response. You know, he says, "Peace be with you." And Luke, the gospel writer, says, while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, it didn't forfeit the joy, did it? It was in their joy that they were disbelieving and still wondering. Could that include us all at some level? So we don't have to claw our way to the joy, to the gladness. No, that's God's gift to us in Christ. And we live our life long trying to be as free as we might be in that freedom, in that love, in that peace. Still perhaps disbelieving and still wondering about all of this. Still, their joy was real because they were in the presence of Jesus. I hearken back to a quote I've used a couple times in talking about this process of vision renewal. It's from Frederick Buechner, a theologian, a writer, and a teacher. And he frames the Christian life as the place where our deep gladness, and that's the very words that the psalmist uses, you have put gladness in my heart more than when grain and wine and oil increase. And in an agrarian society, your whole life rode on the harvest. So even more than a bumper harvest, you have put gladness in my heart. God, you have done that by your Holy Spirit. And so Buechner would say, it's where our deep gladness meets the world's hunger. Where our deep gladness as individuals and as a community of faith here at St. Cuthbert, where that deep gladness, and I think we've identified that through the cottage meetings. I really believe we've identified that deep gladness, and we're going to hear about that just a little later. And then I think part of the process is to then discern, where is our community's deep hunger? Where is that deep hunger? And that we might join those two. And that's my understanding of this joy as we move out in Christ, believing that God is meeting the community's deep hunger in Jesus. And so that if we're close to Jesus, we'll be in that place. I hope that makes sense. That's my understanding, and that's what I had to share this morning. The rest of the story, really, I believe, is in the presentation just a little bit later, during which you'll have a chance to interact. All right?
Please stand with me and let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed as found on page 189. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. This morning, as we pray, my bidding to you will be, Lord of glory, and your response, hear our prayer. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for the work that has been done through the cottage meetings. We thank you, Lord, for all those who have served and prepared the report. And Lord, we pray that as we meet after the service for our town hall, that you would continue to stir up that deep gladness within us, reveal it to us. Open our eyes and help us to catch a glimpse of your vision. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. And as we pray for this direction for ourselves, we pray also for your church near and far throughout the world. Guard and direct, Lord, within our own diocese, the clergy and people of St. Anselm, Vancouver, the church in Ireland, all the clergy and people, and our partner diocese in the Northern Philippines, and within our own community, the Abishep Pentecostal Assembly. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. We hold up to you all of the ministries of the church that serve the needs of your people. Make their work fruitful. We pray for the ministry of the sleeping children everywhere, for Hope International, for first responders and their ministry among our community, and for the ministry of the social committee within our own parish. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. We pray for our parish families, that you would bless them and keep them and fill them with the light of your love, that they would be beacons in their own neighborhoods and communities. We pray for Dick and Margaret Van Egmond, Wilf Vansickle, Shama and Sapna Villamandiran, Joyce Visser, and Betty Walker. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. And Lord, move your healing hand in the lives of those who suffer in any way. We hold to you Alex and Nancy Angus, Mary and Wendy Chamberlain, Fulkar Sharan, Reed, Lloyd Doyle, Marion Fell, John, Gloria Kenny, Dennis Nkojo, Helen Riel, Paul Smith, Dick Van Egmond, Pastor Samuel and Rachel Krishna, and others that you would like to hold up to the Lord. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for the Georges family, those just arrived and those who have been here for a while, and for our work with our partner churches as we support them in their transitions. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who grieve. We remember those who have died. We pray especially for those suffering through the Humboldt tragedy. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites us to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Our corporate confession can be found on page 191. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
As Jesus came amongst his friends, let us hear him say to us, "The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. Peace, my brother.
Amen.
Peace, my brother.
At this time, we'll prepare the Lord's table, we'll receive our tithes and offerings and over and above gifts, and we'll sing, In Christ Alone. Let us pray. Creator of all, you wash away our sins in water. You give us new birth by the Spirit and redeem us in the blood of Christ. As we celebrate the resurrection, renew your gift of life within us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. We continue on Eucharistic prayer with Eucharistic prayer number 4, found on page 201. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being.
Glory to you forever and ever.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us stewards of creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turn against you and betray our trust, your trust, and we turn against one another. Again and again you call us to return. Through the prophets and sages you reveal your righteous law. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn.